steps were slow as they walked along that long this road. Then a man appeared, and as he drew near, he said, "Why are you so sad? Are things really that bad?" They said, "Sir, have you not heard? You must be a stranger in this town, 'cause the one who came in the Father's name has been cut down. They laid his body in the ground." As they walked and talked, he began to explain about this Jesus and why he came. He opened the scriptures and began to teach. The preacher of preachers, he began to preach. In the the children had nothing there to eat, but manna from heaven fell down at their feet. When they were dry and thirsty in a foreign land, living water came forth out of a rock in the sand. When the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the flames, the fourth man appeared. They even called him by name. The manna, the water, the man, they're all the same. If you're still, let me say this real plain. It was me.
It was me.
It was me.
It was me.
He said, "I'm the one you left back there at Calvary. It was me."
Stars in the sky. Who do you think made the day and the night? Who made the flowers? Who made the trees? Who made the sun and the moon and the sea? Who gives life to all who believe? Who do you think makes the blind to see? Who made the very air that you breathe? And who defeated death and won the It was me.
It was me.
It was me.
It was me.
He said, "I'm the one who died for you on Calvary." It was me. Who loved you when no one else would? Who saved you when no one else could?
Want to turn with us over in Mark's gospel. Anytime that you have a song you like to sing, see Sister Connie before service. And some of the new people, if you sing, we need to know it. We need all the singers we can get. Amen. Mark's gospel in the 9th chapter tonight, to take a text. And Brother Mike started out with that song he started to singing. And it's in the message, and you'll see it here shortly, about the men walking alone. But Mark's gospel in the 9th chapter in verse number 23, Jesus saying here to this man, and we'll touch this in another book, the same story in a little bit. But verse number 23, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now that scripture is a powerful scripture. I don't know if we could ever fully study and get the gist of what he's saying here in this scripture, but it's a powerful scripture. And that "if" is a conditional word. He said, "If thou canst believe. All things are possible to them that believeth. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening for who you are. Father, we ask God that you would help us tonight to receive what you have brought forth and have served upon this table tonight. Lord, if we go home hungry from any service spiritually, God, it is our fault because you know how to set a table. And Father, help us in our life, Lord, to grasp hold to the words when we come together. Lord, as I was talking to a good brother this morning, I said our services sometime, Lord, is a series. And it's so important that we not skip these series because it may be something that can really help us to make it to the end. Like Brother David said, it's not how we start the race, but it's how we finish that race. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And Father, we love you tonight and we praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. If thou canst believe. What is, if is in the Bible what? Where's Brother Jerry at? He's my calculator here. It's 1,522 times, isn't it? And the only way to prove me and Brother Jerry wrong is for y'all to count them. Amen. And it means the same thing. It's a conditional thing. He said, you got to believe. Amen. A lot of people say, well, if I'd see, I'd believe. No. You got it backwards. You got to believe and then you see. Amen. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Faith or believing starts in the heart and it starts with a thought. That's why he said in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So read it backwards. If you're listening to something other than the word of God, that's why our faith is weak. Amen. If you listen to the wrong thing, our faith will be weak. But if you listen to the word of God, it builds your faith. And faith gives us the ability to believe. And Jesus is saying here, if thou canst believe. Well, if I've got to believe, then I need to work my faith and exercise my faith and build up my faith. Amen. And it will give me the ability to believe. Now, believe is trust or assurance. So we need to think about what we are talking about or think about what we're seeing and hearing. Amen. There's a little story in Luke's gospel in the 24th chapter that Brother Mike started out singing here. Let's pick it up in verse number 13. It says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, they didn't know who it was because it says in verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And so often that's what happens with us, that the Lord is around us, but our belief system is not working and our spiritual eyes are holden that we cannot acknowledge the presence of God. Even in a service, many times God has come in the midst of a service and wanted to do great things, but because of our unbelief, he could only heal a few sick folk. Remember, that's in the Bible too, right? Because they did not believe, he said all he could do was heal a few sick folk. So God wants to do great things. But listen, it said verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? He said, as he's walking along, and I mean, get a picture of them walking along, and Jesus is walking along, and God never leaves us nor forsakes us, right? That's what he says. And so we walk along through life, and we begin to get sad in life. If we would just stop and listen to what we're hearing or seeing, we'll realize why we're sad, what we're thinking on. But Jesus is hearing the conversation of these two guys, and he begins to ask them, he said, what in the world are y'all talking about? I mean, what words are y'all listening to? You're putting in there, you're not building your faith, you're building your unbelief. Amen. He said, whatever you're talking about is making you sad, is getting you down. If you're around someone and every time you're around them, you feel worse than when you got there, chances are that you might not ought to be hanging around with them people. Amen. He said, Brother David, I've come to church and left feeling worse. Well, it's because you didn't obey the Lord. Amen. He says, what or who told you this stuff that is making you sad? That's what he's saying to these people here. What things? And then further down, you can read the story when you get home, but further down he begins to talk to him. Jesus did, and he says in verse number 25, he says, O fools and slow of heart to believe. Now, what does God say about me and you? When we begin to, I mean, you think about it. In Luke's gospel, the 10th chapter, it said the 70 returned again with joy and said, the devils are even subject to us through thy name. And Jesus said, don't let that be the source of your joy, but rather that your name is written in heaven. And if you'll always be mindful that your name is written in heaven, there is not one thing on this earth that can ever make you sad. Come on. That you'd ever get into molly grubs down and out. If we forget who we are, you get there. So he's saying here unto these two gentlemen, he says, O fools and slow of heart to believe. And after Jesus was revealed to them and they realized who was in their presence, it says in verse number 32, when you get home, you read it. It says that they talked to one another and they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Why was their hearts burning when Jesus was talking? Because he was talking faith. They was talking unbelief and doubt and down and out. But when Jesus began to talk and preach faith to them, their heart began to burn within them. And let me tell you, when you get around somebody that's talking faith, you're going to get some burning in you. You're going to get some fire stirring up in you. Amen. They're going to convince you to get up from where you at, that you can do what God has called you to do. Amen. So be around people that's talking faith talk. Amen. Not someone that's talking doubt and unbelief and all this crazy stuff. That's the line that we're talking about tonight. It's what are we listening to and how we're talking and things of such. It says over in Mark's gospel in the 16th chapter in verse number 9, it says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom was cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, and they mourned and wept. Now, this is a lady going to try to encourage the disciples, the preachers. I mean, it's pretty bad when you get preachers sitting around moaning and groaning and complaining and whining and weeping, isn't it? Come on. And here's a good sister of the church trying to encourage them. And she goes there because she's seen him at the tomb here. And she goes and she tells him that she's been with him. And here she finds the disciples and they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. I mean, how do you encourage people like that? I mean, you tell them the truth and they don't believe it. How discouraging this could be, huh? I know that we'd never have that problem around here, right? They believe not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them. I just read the story as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. See, these men that was walking along with him, that Jesus said, what kind of communication you got? These men that said, did not our hearts burn with them? They went and told the disciples also. Mary Magdalene had already told them. And they didn't believe her. And now here comes two other brothers and said, hey, he's alive. And they didn't believe him either. Wow. Now these are who God is called here to carry the gospel. Imagine the church in a mess it is. I mean, if the church can't believe in God, and if the church can't, you know, accept God's word, how in the world are we going to ever get the world to accept him? Come on, if we don't believe him, if we don't get excited about God, how are we going to get the world excited about him? Come on. I'm telling you, if you don't sit around and talk about Jesus a few times and say his name, if you don't feel something running up and down the avenues of your soul, something is wrong in the cookie jar. Amen. There's some ants got all the sugar out of it. You need to get you some sugar back in it. Amen. Something wrong there. He says, but look what Jesus did. It says, verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 disciples. as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not. Now, sometimes if you're just reading this, you might think that word upbraided means that he comforted them. No. He rebuked them. Amen. He rebuked them for what they was doing. He rebuked. That means to cast in teeth. He gnawed them out. He chewed them out. Come on. He said, you bunch of unbelieving preachers, get up from there. Can you imagine? He said, all the work, I can imagine in Jesus' mind, all the work that I've done to bring salvation to mankind, and all the times I told you that I was going to have to go to the cross and the Son of Man was going to die, lay down his life. But don't be afraid of that, because I'll be raised up again. And I told you, and yet you didn't accept it. He rebuked them because of their unbelief and their hardness of heart. What is hardness of heart? It is destitute of spiritual perception. Wow, I wonder, is the church world got any hardness of heart? They're destitute of spiritual perception. Huh? Glory to God. He says, and he said unto them, he goes on and said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And that goes for them preachers sitting there. He said, if you don't get up and go to preaching, if you don't get up and believe God and get excited about God, you're going to go to hell. You better get up and get excited about him and believe in him and do a work and go to heaven. Amen. Be saved. That's what he's saying. Listen, bad thoughts can depress you. Can I get a witness? Bad thoughts can depress you. And also, it will and can imprison you. Many people are locked in a prison simply because of the thoughts that they think. Amen. Did not Job say that the ear tastes words as the tongue tastes meat? And when you taste a piece of meat and it's bad, do you just kind of politely chew it on down and swallow it? No, you spit that sucker out, don't you? Well, it's the same way when you hear words that is contrary to the book right here that will steal your faith. You need to cast it down. You need to put it back in their faith. I don't want to listen to it. There's some songs I don't listen to. I'm talking about so-called Christian songs. Amen. It says, our thoughts. What did he say in Philippians 4:8? He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Well, what is true? Romans, the 3rd chapter, said, let God be true and every man a liar. So it doesn't matter who brings the message. If it don't line up with this book right here, he's a liar. But if it lines up with this book right here, it's the truth. Amen. That's why I give you scripture for everything I say, because this is the truth. And if I give you this, I'm giving you the truth. That's why I encourage you to check me out. Make sure I'm telling you the truth. There it is. Can't argue with that, can you? Hey, that's even King James. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't have no other up there. He says, listen, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. See, he's telling us, and here is a pattern that we, our think process, that we judge everything. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Nothing else. If you're thinking on other things, my friend, you're getting outside this book right here. And he said, verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Paul is saying, the things that you've learned and received and heard and actually seen working in my life, do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. Don't believe some other that comes along and say, hey, this is the 2010. We're living in a new age. You better watch out. Jesus said they'll come in the last day and say, won't you come out here in the desert? He said, don't you go out there. You better not go out there. Amen. You better stay in the book right here. What is a desert? Desert is a new frontier. Oh, this is a new thing. It's tried and true right here. Mom and Daddy used this thing right here. In fact, Daddy, when I first started preaching, gave me this book right here. It's got a couple of pages. My dad used to be bad about cutting pages out and gluing them over in here and into one Bible. And when he's up here preaching, people say, I want one of them Bibles. He turned one page. He's gone from Genesis to Revelation. How can he do that? He is a trip. My dad is something. Oh, hallelujah. Galatians 5 and 7, he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Who you listen to? This persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. A little leaven or a little thought wrong can leaven the whole lump, can it not? Amen. Luke 24 and 36, it says, as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Amen. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that it had been a spirit. See, Jesus was walking on the water. And they was all, you know, what is this? And Jesus is coming in the boat. And Jesus began to ask him in verse number 38. He said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? I mean, why do we allow thoughts to rise up in our hearts of thought that brings and makes us afraid? Amen. He tells us in Timothy that he's not given us a spirit of fear. Fear does not come from God. Amen. This fright fear, a reverent fear is. But these thoughts, I mean, you can hear someone that maybe have a disease or something or some bad report, and all of a sudden they'll be talking about their symptoms. And all of a sudden you start feeling those same symptoms. And you begin to wonder, come on now, I know what I'm talking about. You start feeling those same symptoms. And if you keep on and keep on, directly you're going to be at the doctor in the emergency room with it. All from thoughts. It's powerful. I tell you, mind is powerful. I'll tell you about my grandmother, right? She came out one morning, her eyes all swollen, puffed up, and I was walking out the door, and she lived with my aunt and uncle, and had come out the side porch there. And she came out, and her eyes all swollen up, and looked like she's about dead. And I looked at her and said, Mom, what in the world's wrong with you? She said, honey, I've run out of my medicine in the middle of the night, and I need you to rush over to Daddy Sullivan's and get this filled. And she gave me a big old bottle about that big round. She gave me 50 cents, you know, a dollar, whatever. It wasn't much. I wasn't going to say, Grandma, you need more money than this, you know. Now, I'm old, but it costs a little bit. I know some of y'all thought, well, that was way back in and it was cheap. I know what y'all thought. I'm ahead of y'all. Brian told me the other day, he said, Dad, what you put a little something on that gray? I said, son, that's wisdom, man. That ain't gray, that's silver. Right, brother? That's silver. Ain't it, brother? Amen, that's silver. He even got it in his beard. You got some too. Yeah, only your hairdresser knows. But so I grabbed this bottle. I'm heading over there in town. I get in there, you know, and hand it to him and think it's an emergency, you know. And he hands it back to me, filled up with little pills, and he said, it'd be 50 cents. I said, 50 cents? I mean, it's a small town. We knew about it. I said, Dennis, what in the world? 50 cents? What could this be? He said, ain't nothing but a little sugar pill. It's something she thinks she can't live without. She would have died from not getting that sugar pill. Y'all seen Andy, right? That little old lady on Andy Griffith. And the new doctor came to town. You know, this old woman was getting them sugar pills, you know. Oh, she was going to die. help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Why did these thoughts arise in your hearts? He said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye have spoken. Have you seen? Amen? Matthew's gospel in the 17th chapter, it tells this story. See, we can't, so often we can't dwell on what we don't have. We must dwell on what we do have. See, tonight I'm not preaching to those empty spots on the pews. I'm preaching to the field spots on the pews. See? I mean, I preach the same in here whether we have, you know, this 3,000 we got tonight, or I'm counting angels. I tell you, I count angels. or if I'm preaching to 10, I preach to what I do have. And I'm thankful for what I do have. That'll come and endure this country boy hollering. Amen. I'm thankful for you. Look at the one next to you and say, the preacher's thankful for you. Be thankful. Matthew's Gospel, the 17th chapter, verse 15, he says, this man says, Lord, this is the story that I started with there, if thou canst believe. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for often he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus looks at the disciples because they couldn't do what they're supposed to do. And he says, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Amen. O faithless and perverse generation. Perverse is distorted, misinterpreted. O faithless, that is, O full of doubt, and perverse, distorted, and misinterpreted generation. How long shall I suffer you? How long shall I be with you? And Jesus rebuked the devil, verse 18, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Another place, the man asked Jesus, when Jesus said, do you believe? He said, yea, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And I told you the other day that what he's talking about here, he said, when I left home with my son, I'd heard your reputation of the church, and I heard what the church is and should be. And when I left home, I had all the faith in the world. But after I'd done let, you know, a dozen guys pray for him and nothing has happened, and now you're the 13th one wanting to pray for him, I'm beginning to doubt a little bit. So help my unbelief. Right? So Jesus has cast the devil out of the young man. In verse 19, he says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? In other words, they pulled him aside, Jesus, and he said, Jesus, why couldn't we do what you just did? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Because there was some unbelief in there somewhere. There was some doubt in there somewhere. Amen. I told you one time, one was in the storefront, and Brother Walker came up, and I mentioned him twice today, hadn't I? He came up, and he had a bad sore throat, and he came up for prayer. The brothers gathered around, and we anointed him and prayed for him. And when we finished praying for him, I could see in his mouth, he was moving his mouth around, and he was working up some saliva that he was going to test it out. He was going to swallow and see if it was healed. See, there's that if in there. A little doubt. I'm going to check it out and see. And I felt urged the Lord. I said, right then, before he ever had time to swallow, I said, Brother Walker, I got his mind off of it. I said, go down to the water cooler and get you a drink of water. And from there to the water cooler, he was healed. Amen. Because he came back around with his hands up and said, it ain't a bit sore. Amen. So often we take and we are, you know, we believe, but do we really believe? There's a fine line there. Amen. So Jesus is saying, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence in yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. What did he say over here? He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Here, Jesus is saying here that nothing shall be impossible for you. And then verse number 21, some so-called Bibles leave this scripture out. It's the recipe for the whole thing. And he said, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So often people think that that's the way you get demons out. No, Jesus ain't worried about devils. He's worried about unbelief. And he says the reason you can't do is because of unbelief. And the way to get rid of unbelief is prayer and fasting. You see, flesh doubts God. Well, the spirit wants to believe him. And when you take that flesh that is so precious and bold and said, I don't believe. If you'll push that plate back, amen. After a while, that flesh will get so weak. It'll say, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. Give me something to eat, please. And the old spirit man's going to say, all right. We got that doubt out now. We can believe. We can work some miracle. Amen. Glory to God. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. Amen. Matthew's gospel in the 14th chapter is the story of the time when Jesus, when I read the story a little while ago, Jesus is walking on this water. And let's pick it up in verse number 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And old Peter, I like old brother Peter. He's one of these guys that wants to try anything. Huh? You know, he's doing it. I want to do that. He says, and Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come on. See, a lot of times we condemn old Peter for sinking in the water, but he had enough of faith to jump over the side of that boat. I wonder how many of us would have jumped over. See, the other disciples stood and watched him. Huh? They probably, when he started sinking, he can't do it. Look at him. Look at him. At least he tried. See, people that may try and fail, at least they tried. Amen. You know, they get up and sing, and maybe they mess up on a word or two, or they didn't get in key, but at least they tried. Amen. They may even stand up and testify about what God done to them, and maybe they said a couple of words wrong, but at least they tried. Amen. At least they tried. And so what happens, Peter jumps over and he begins to walk on the water. He's walking on the water. Verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out. I mean, here he goes. He's walking on this water. It's like us walking through life. And the enemy may holler at us and said, you know, you can't be no Christian. He's probably told some of you. What do you mean you in church? You know you can't live no Christian life. What do you think? And you start listening to that junk and you start, well, I guess I can't. You know God could never use you. Huh? I like what old brother John did right here. You know, I think me and him, I've told him a few times that you never served, don't be no Christian, you know. And they got saved. The next day I seen him out on the street with a big old sign on both sides saying about scriptures about the Bible, walking up and down the street. Amen. Come on, get in there, get in there. Amen. I saw way down the road, I said, who is that up there? Who is that? Crazy fella. I said, who is that up there? Get up there to one of my church people. How do you think that made old brother Dave feel? Praise God, look at here. Amen. Huh? Glory to God. He said, the wind in the water, tapping him on the ankle, said, and he took his eyes off of Jesus. See, that's what happens when we take our eyes off the book, off of what he says. Don't listen to what anything else but what he says. And he began to look down here in this water, saying, you big dummy, you can't walk on water. And he began to sink. But what did he do? He looked back at the Lord. He said, Lord, save me. And what happened? The Lord got him by the hand, amen, and lifted him up, and they both walked back into the ship, amen. Come on. It's one thing to start down, but it's another thing to get back up, amen. Come on. A winner never quits. He may stumble, but he never quits. Hallelujah. You may have prayed, and you may have, you know, you know, just didn't believe here in this situation or this one. But look, this is a whole new day. Come on. I don't care what happened yesterday. I don't care how many times you prayed and nothing happened. It doesn't matter. Today is a new day. Amen. Don't let that affect your today. Be everything that God has called you to be today. What did Jesus say in Luke's gospel in the 8th chapter? You know, it starts out with with a parable of the sower, you know, and how we hear. Verse number 18, it talks about Jesus is saying, take heed how ye hear. Mark's gospel parallels this and says, take heed what ye hear. So we got to watch out how we hear and watch out how we and what we hear. Amen. Because Jesus had told the disciples in Luke's gospel in the 8th chapter, verse 22, he said, let us go over to the other side. Now, it's very important to listen to words of the Bible. I mean, that's why I get hung up on these Johnny Come Lately books that change the word and change the meaning of the words, because words are powerful. And what the words mean here, we need to understand. That's why you need to look up the meaning in the Greek or Hebrew, because it gives it even fuller, richer power. Amen. And so we need to understand these words. And Jesus is telling them when he gets in the ship, he said, let us go over to the other side. And Jesus goes down and goes to sleep, does he not? And it says in verse 49, let's pick it up. Is that where it is? Let me find myself here. I don't know if I even got that story. Maybe I just have to tell it to you. Help me, Lord. I don't know what she got up there. Yeah, I just put that part. Let me just tell you the story. Jesus is in the hinder part of the ship. Well, you know where the hinder is, right? The trunk. And that's where most people got God. They got him in the trunk. And they don't get him out unless there's an emergency. Amen? They even got on the front of the car. God is my co-pilot. Well, so he wouldn't ride with some of us driving. God is our pilot. Amen. Listen. But they got him in the trunk. And whenever emergency comes, we want to pop the trunk. But let me tell you, whenever you pop the trunk and you got him by there, he's not going to be there. But he's in the hinder part of the ship. And what happens is the storm comes up. And the ship begins to rock and water begins to come in the ship. And it was getting full of water and they was all afraid that it was going to drown. And they go down and they wake Jesus up and they say, Master, carest not that we perish? Don't you care we're about to die? So Jesus gets up. What's he do? He gets up and he rebukes the wind. You know, some people say that just like Katrina came through New Orleans, is God bringing judgment on New Orleans. Listen. The devil is the principality of the air. It's not God. God's in the saving business, not in the killing business. Come on. Get it right. Jesus rebuked the wind. Amen. And it was a great calm. But what's the next thing that he did? Put that scripture back. Verse 25. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Where's your faith at? In other words, he said, why didn't you do that? Why did you wake me up? So often we say, Lord, come down and save my lost loved ones. Well, let me tell you, he's not coming down and saving your lost loved ones. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's why he's got preachers and teachers and got you here to save the world. Amen. We are ambassadors representing the kingdom. Amen. Come on. He said, Lord, heal my brother and sister. That's why he's got you there. He healed them 2,000 years ago. Amen. It's up to us to anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith. Amen. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise them up. Amen. How? By his word. So we understand here Jesus is saying, where is your faith at? In other words, faith can be misplaced. It can be lost. It can be shipwrecked. The Bible talks about all these things. So we've got to keep our faith intact. Amen. We got to keep our faith intact. Here's a story that I heard brother talk about this morning. It's in the message for tonight. He says, this is the time when the young man, he was a palsy. He couldn't walk and he had some good friends. I like friends like these. And they brought him to Jesus because they wanted him to help their friend. And when they got there to the place, it was so crowded with people that they couldn't get him to Jesus. So like some friends, they just carried him back home and said, at least we tried. But these are real friends that says, we're not going to let anything stop us. They had faith, amen. Faith will keep you moving. Faith will not make you give up. Amen. You'll keep on going and you'll get hard-headed enough. Amen. It's faith is like that little woman that was there when Jesus asked him to heal her daughter. And Jesus knew that she, being a Gentile, said, it's not meet for me to give the children bread to dogs. And she said, I'll take that title. But don't the dogs eat the crumbs. Just give me the crumbs. Amen. That's what faith is. Faith will not give up. Hallelujah. Faith holds on. Like R.W. Schambach said, when you find yourself at the end of your rope, he said, tie a knot in it and hold on. Glory. That's what faith does. So these friends, they said, we know what. And here's Jesus teaching the people. And all of a sudden, I can just see them there. And as they begin to take the tiling off of the building there, And begin to lower him down. Maybe some of the straw or some of the splinters and stuff started falling down, the dust. And he got his attention. He said, what? And he looks up. And it says when he saw their faith. You can see faith, man. Come on. You can see faith. I remember Brother Crib, Walter Crib, years ago when we first started a ministry down the road in a little trailer, was looking for a place to hold some, you know, services in and prayer meetings and stuff, and went. He had a little trailer over that he had a little work going on in Hanahan over there. And we went to look at it because he was wanting to maybe get out of his work. He was getting kind of older. And so we was considering maybe get that. It was all set up like a church. And so we went and looked at it, but we decided to go another different direction. And he came to visit. This is about three years or so after we went and looked at his trailer. And he came here one Sunday night. And I'll never forget, I stayed up here, and he came in that door. Now, he's the man that started Oakley Road Church of God years ago out there. But he couldn't even read. Listen, he was a preacher, couldn't read, but he opened the Bible and read. Ah, it's amazing. Listen, he walked in that door, and he comes strolling down. And this is what fell out of his mouth. He said, I don't have to ask y'all people if y'all got faith. I can see your faith. Amen. See, faith, you can see faith. And when he saw their faith, wow. When he saw their faith, it says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? What is this junk you're thinking? Come on. It's kind of like one time years ago, some of y'all have heard this before, but there was a lady in my dad, in our hometown, in the church there, and she couldn't talk. And she came up for prayer, and the church gathered around, and they laid hands on her, and as they're praying for her, a couple of words would utter out and it'd go back to nothing. My dad stopped and he said, someone is touching her that don't believe. Go and sit down. Go sit down. No one sat down. They prayed again, same results. Go sit down. So in essence, that's all they got accomplished. The next day, the Sunday school superintendent's wife was talking to another sister and said, I knew that woman couldn't talk last night and was praying for her because she had an operation, had her voice box removed. She is up there praying. Come on, church. Right here, these men were right there. And what are they saying? What are they reasoning? What is our reasoning? See, we have to go beyond what flesh tells us. We have to reach out beyond what man would tell us out into the miracle realm. And that's where miracles are at. It's outside the thought of mankind. Hallelujah. See, the bumblebee can fly if he listened to man because his wings ain't big enough. But see, God told him to fly and he's still flying. It says, Jesus went on and said, whether it's easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, rise up and walk. But that thou may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go thy way. And immediately he arose up before them and took and, you know, went on his way, departed his own house, glorifying God. Amen. He's talking about believing God. He said, if we would believe, he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. You ought to get that scripture and plant it in your week this week. If thou canst believe. Amen. If you can look, whatever you're in need of, if there is some belief system that can get, if you can believe for it, God can do it. It's already done, but we got to believe it and come in agreement with it. Amen. That's where it's at. That's where reality comes. Luke's gospel in the 8th chapter in verse 49. Listen to this. This is a time that Jairus' daughter was sick and he's on the way there. And this is on his way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter. And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, Jairus' house, saying unto him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. You know, whenever you start to do something, isn't there always a bearer of bad news? There'll be someone come along and say, you know, y'all can't do that. Or you can't do that. What are you going to listen to? Listen to God said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Or listen to, you can't do that. And what happened? When Jesus heard what they told him, thy daughter's dead, trouble not the master. Jesus immediately got his attention back in verse 50 and said, fear not, believe only. Fear not, believe only. Amen. Got his attention back from doubt, back to faith and back to reality. What happened? Jesus goes there and he prays for the daughter, puts all the unbelievers when he says, hey, your daughter's not dead. She just sleeps. And they went to laughing. He put that doubt out. Did he not? He didn't say, y'all come on in and let's all get in here and pray. Come on. Don't agree with an unbeliever because it won't work. He said, if any two agree, that we got to agree in prayer. Amen. Romans 4:17. It says here about Abraham, as written, I have made thee a father of many nations, for whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were. Call those things which are not as though they were. Amen. See, he couldn't have children. Sarah's womb was barren. So he called those things that are not as though they were by his name. Father of many nations. Abraham, father of many nations. Everywhere he went, father of many nations. What do people call you? What is around you? What do you hear? Do you hear that God can do anything or God has limitations? Come on, what are you listening to? It says in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. So often we consider our own inabilities. Listen, if every preacher that preached would rely on their abilities, there would never be a preacher. Come on. But we rely on God's ability. He says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in God, giving glory to God. Strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm almost finished. Listen. Remember the story about Lazarus? He sung about Lazarus over there. And Jesus knew Lazarus and Martha and Mary. Remember, he went to their house and Mary sat at Jesus' feet. As Jesus taught, Martha was cumbered about much serving, you know, so she didn't get very much teaching in. And so she was cumbered about much serving. That's why in this story here, she's doubting. So they send word that Lazarus was sick, and it takes Jesus several days to get there. And when he gets there, he finds out that he's dead, and they buried him, got a big old stone in front of the tomb where he's buried. Amen. And Jesus gets there and Martha begins to rebuke Jesus. If you had a been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said in verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. And then Martha said, well, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Hello. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. I am the resurrection and life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he asked her, believest thou this? What did he say? She said, yeah, Lord. Yeah, I believe. He said, Mary, he's calling you. That's about the way the church people, you know, that we preach and we tell the goodness of God and how much God loves us and how much he's done for us and what Jesus paid for. And we sit in the church and say, amen, praise God, hallelujah, as soon as we go out the door. I mean, I've actually prayed for people before and feel, I know God blessed it. I felt the power of God and they would just quake and move and some shout and they get some glory from heaven. And on the way out, they shake in my hand and they say, keep praying, brother Dave. One of these days, I know God's going to do it. What's wrong with now, today? What's wrong with just 30 minutes ago? He said, yes, I believe. He says, yea, Lord. Yeah. Amen. 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 Jesus comes there to where Mary is at. And here, Jesus in this story, he groans two times. What's groan? Like a horse. He was upset because he saw who Mary and Martha were hanging with. People of unbelief. People that did not believe God. Amen? And Jesus saw this when they was with Mary and he groaned in his spirit. When they come to the tomb and he sees this big old stone up here, he groans again. And what did he say? He said in verse number 39, he said, take ye away the stone. The stone represents unbelief and doubt. God is not going to remove your unbelief and doubt. That's our job. We got to remove the doubt from us. He said, take ye away the stone. Had he not taken away the stone, Lazarus would have never come out of there. Amen. And when they rolled that stone away, what did he do? He cried out with a loud voice. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. What happens? He came forth, did he not? And then he looks at the church when he came out bound hand and foot. And he looks at the church and he said, loose him and let him go. And so often when people come in out of the street and in the world and they're like Lazarus, they're full of dead man's bones and they're dead. Amen. And we roll away the stone and he calls their name and they come forth. But they're bound hand and foot. Then it's our job, the teachers and the preachers and the workers of the church, to loose them and let them go free. Because they're bound with all kind of sin. But we work with them and we help them and we raise them up. Hallelujah. But we can't do it with unbelief. We got to have faith that believe God can do anything. So often I've heard it when people come into church and some old brother or sister been knowing them for years and said, well, said, I know them. I know them all their life and they'll never be saved. My God, what kind of talk is that? If there's breath still in them, there's breath to say, I believe that Jesus died for me. Come on. If there's breath in them, there's hope. You say, well, brother, I've seen them come to God and go back and come to God and go back. Well, praise God, maybe it'll stick this time. Come on. I mean, it's like fishing. And you throw that rod out there and you reel it in and all of a sudden you feel it jerk. Oh man, I missed him, you know. Well, I just going home, I missed him. Especially you saw the tail of that thing kind of roll the water. You want to dive in and get him. Glory to God. Jesus said, verse number 40, to Martha. You know, because she's the one, when he said, take away the stone, says, he stinketh. There's no way. Remember? She was cumbered about much serving. Had she been sitting and listening? Right? She said, amen, Lord, let's roll that stone away. He can do it. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. If thou canst believe, all things. When I was a little boy, my favorite scripture, because it's so short and simple, was John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That's pretty plain, pretty simple. If you ask anything in my name, not just saying the name of Jesus, but being in him. If you're in him and ask anything, he'll do it. Wow. But we got to believe. We got to believe. It says in Mark's Gospel, 11th chapter, those coming instruments. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Amen. 23 says, for whosoever shall say, that word in the Greek is epo. It means past tense. Whosoever shall say unto that mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But you see, we have to see it. That little woman, when Jesus was going to Jairus' house on the journey, he was talking with some. And it was a little woman that came up and touched the hem of his garment. Y'all remember the story? You know what she said before she left home? If I can just touch the hem of his garment. You know what she's talking about? I can see myself. I got a vision. I see myself. I see the man. I see me touching that hem. And as soon as I do, that's where my faith is going to be released. Whew. Amen. I've heard of people say they seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost or seeking something, healing or whatever. And they say, tonight when I get to church, now don't just do this tonight because I'm saying this and you're going to do it right now. You know, your heart ain't it. But they say, tonight when I get to church and that opportunity is given, and when I go up there and they put that oil on me, and when they touch me, I'm going to receive. That's their point of releasing faith. Amen? If I can just touch the hem of his garment. Therefore, whosoever shall say, past tense, see it in a vision, get a vision. Without a vision, people perish. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, shall have whatsoever he saith. And then verse 24, he condenses it, makes it simple. He said, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them right then. Not by feeling. Brother Dave, I don't know if I received anything from God because I didn't feel a great earthquake. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Amen. The lepers, the 10 lepers. When Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, did they receive right then? No. He said, as they went. If they had said, well, I don't feel nothing, so I ain't no need me to go show myself to the priest. It's as they went. As they went. Huh? Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Amen. Then it also says a little further, he says, and when you pray, forgive. Oh. Keeps on going, don't it? Come on, stand with us.